Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Because we have a very special interview coming up, an interview that I am very excited on the line. I have Jan Highregal today. Jan is an extremely prolific New Zealand songwriter and singer who actually studied and performed down here in good old Dunners, and is now based up in Tamaki again. She last released her 2019 album Sportsman of the Year alongside a podcast and a book, and started off performing with her brother in a band working with Walt before forming her own band Cassandra's Ears, and then went on to have a very successful solo career, having released 5 studio albums. And now she's back with an NZ tour, if not now, when, this spring. Jan, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. How are you going, Lily?
I'm good. I've had a long day, but it's all been worth it to get to this point.
Fantastic.
So we'll just jump right into it. So your show, If Not Now, When, is piano-focused, isn't that right? It's stripped back. And how do you feel going into this kind of more intimate performance?
Well, it's that question I've been asking myself. Like, my first instrument was the piano, and I didn't play it. Like, when I started music, it was more sort of grunge rock focused, so I thought I'd better learn the guitar, so I did. But I, you know, as I, like, now I'm thinking about what I'm singing about, what I'm trying to convey with my art and stuff, and it's like, oh, it sort of suits the piano, I think. But that being said, I am still playing some of the guitar tracks and some of the earlier tracks, because that's where, when people come to see me, that's what they want to hear. So I'm not going to not play those things. But my new work is all very much written on the piano, because it's a bit of a surprise, the next project. But you can only find out about the next project if you come to the shows, and because it's going to take me another year to finish it, probably.
Yeah, what will the show look like? In terms of what can people expect if,
well,
they get tickets?
Well, the closest I could describe it, even though it's not like this at all, but the closest I could describe it would be like a Tim Minchin-y type of show. Like, it's a little bit of lots of things, but we're not the same. We have different experiences. We're completely different musicians, and we write about different things. But what I liked about his shows is, you know, the banter, the philosophy, the fun, and then the songs. But the songs are done as they're meant to be done, because you can't make a comedy out of a song that's not comedy.
Yeah.
So I always express them the way they're meant to be expressed. But as I get older, I just sing about different things that I used to think about when I was in my 20s. They don't worry me anymore. In fact, I don't actually have many worries anymore. So,
well, that's good to hear.
I don't want to sit around with the world's smallest violin at my age. So I sing them because they're like little time capsules of my career. But yeah, the new stuff's different. It's really different.
Yeah. You've been putting some great videos up on your socials. We just talked off air about socials and the game of social media, but you've been putting some great videos up there, talking about kind of coming back to performance and not letting society's expectations get the better of you or get the better of artists, and still doing what you love. Can you kind of speak a bit to that, and also the idea of invisibility in middle age and dealing with that as a musician?
Well, that's what I kind of broached when I got to Sportsman of the Year, because I really, honestly, when I made that album, I thought, well, who actually really cares about me, about, you know, my music? Because, you know, music's always about the next up and coming thing, and I get that. And also, each generation has its own favourites. So I thought, well, you know, I'll just do something different. I'll write a book. And I thought that would be really easy. It was really bloody hard, but it was really good, because it actually it was a good way to get my that album out there. And then also I got some new younger fans, you know, that liked it. And when I play, the last gig I played was actually a while ago, because I had some sad things happen. I didn't really feel like singing for a while, but the last gig I played, I had these 21 youngsters come up and say, oh, are you on Spotify? And I said, oh, yeah, I am. I don't have many Spotify followers. But they said, because we really like your music and we really like your message. And I thought, well, that's really cool. So if I can keep, you know, if I can keep my message for the people that already know me, but then also have things that maybe younger people are interested in, then then I'm kind of winning, really, because as an artist, you want to keep developing concepts and things. But, yeah, you do... You have a choice, though, right? You can either go, oh, okay, I'm invisible, or you can say, no, I'm not. I'm just going to do it, and that's what I choose to do. I never believe in I don't want to ever say things aren't possible or that these sorts of things happen, because if I say they happen, then they happen. So if I say they don't happen, then they don't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I just basically say, right, this is what I'm going to do, and then I do it, and there are no obstacles. And in Stoicism, it's the obstacle is the way. So you take the obstacle and you turn it into a benefit. And that's
exactly
what I choose to do.
What an amazing philosophy. How has your songwriting process kind of changed now that you've found you have younger fans, now that you're changing with the times of music and everything?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Well, the latest project I've got is a narrative, and it's... So what I find, like the Sportsman Project was about the songs, like the book was about the songs. And the thing is about songs is that you actually meet people and they're in the songs. They're not always about you, but then they sort of are. So lines and things are about different things. And like, as I say, as I get older, I just think about life a lot differently. You know, I don't have this woe is me attitude that I might have had when I was younger. And I just sort of write about things that I think are really interesting, kind of like that concept of the hero's journey. Like you go through life and it's not easy, it's up and down and it twists around, and sometimes you find it takes you to places you don't want to go, but then you always get somewhere in the end, and if you can kind of look at it that way, it isn't too bad, actually.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I am song wise so they're still interesting, and there's some sort of dark, edgy bits and pieces, but it's not, it's just different, you know.
Yeah.
I just sing about, you know, and so the songs are going to reflect that. But when I write a song, the imagery, the tone color, you know, the timbre of the song is in reaction to the imagery. So yes, I can write a heavy rock song or a soft song. It just depends what I'm singing about. But I don't really have a genre. I'm kind of genreless. I just write the songs and see, and that's where they end up.
I think it's the best way to be.
Well, so far
you don't give yourself restrictions, you know.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, but this next one is very piano. I've written it on the piano. I used to write on the guitar, but this is piano-based, and, you know, it's got all that classical sort of stuff, and, you know.
Yeah.
And I like opera and musicals and stuff, so it's all just a little bit different to my normal stuff.
Nice. Well, it's very exciting. Very exciting. I'm going to take you back in time a little bit now, because for anybody who doesn't know, Jan actually used to work here at Radio 1, and pretty much had, I guess, what is now my role over time. You had that, was it the advertising?
Yeah, I was the advertising manager. Now, I'll tell you, that office that you're in, we moved in that first year.
Mm.
That it was brand new. And all the desk and everything was new. And I bought a puppy dog and it chewed up all the wires under the console. And I think pretty much after that, dogs were banned on campus. I don't know if they still are.
Well, we have an office dog. We have Charlie. And there are lots of dogs in OUSA.
My dog caused the ban of dogs in all of Otago for a while. Obviously not now. But it was a lovely office. And I was really bad at the job. I wasn't very good at selling advertising. I'll just admit that now. I'll be a lot better now. But at the time, I was pretty average. But we had really good fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are there any anecdotes that come to your brain?
No, it was just a really good place. I mean, honestly, if you're a musician and I came from West Auckland and I didn't even know you could be in a band, to suddenly being immersed in this environment where there's all these creative people and there's all these things going, you know, there's always things happening and there's always bands to go and see.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it was just the best time.
Yeah.
I had such a good time.
Oh, I'm sure. And now you work in the legal side of music. What drew you to that?
Oh, well, what drew me to that is like I had all this music and I thought, oh, God, you know, no one's interested in it anymore. I wouldn't mind a publisher, but I don't want a real publisher because I've had one of those and they tie you up for years and years and they don't know who you are and it's horrible. Someone else controls your music. So I thought, oh, I'd like to start a publishing company that I could put my songs on. And then I thought, oh, there'd be other people that might want to put their songs on this publishing company too. And so that's how I got to there. But I got quite experienced. I get passionate about what I do, so I learned all I could about the music trade. And yes, I do know about the legal side and about copyright and about music rights and I can do music supervision, although I don't tend to do it much anymore. But you know, that's like putting film onto TV and music onto TV and films and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I just basically become an expert in the trade.
Nice.
Because I thought I might as well.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of bleeds together, doesn't it?
I guess. Well, it's better for a musician to do it, you know, like, because you've got all these other people in the music industry that have that advantage over you, and I hated that. I hated other people knowing more about music than I did, so I thought, no, blow that. I'm gonna find out how the music industry works. And I'm going to manage my own career and my own songs, and I'm not going to let someone else exploit my work without me knowing what I'm signing.
Yeah.
Because I signed some of those contracts, man, and I regret some of them. Although, because I know about the industry now, I've managed to get all my rights back. And because I knew what to do. But, yeah, there's people out there that are unscrupulous and they are ready to take your rights off you as quick as Jack McQuick. So, yeah, I go into bat for people as much as I can.
Yeah, I mean, if young musicians something
like perpetuity forever.
Yeah,
dollars or whatever. But yeah, I just it means, you know, I like to protect young musicians from.
Well, they are vulnerable. They're very vulnerable. You don't know anything going in.
They still are today. I mean, I thought that all that went away. It's not. It's still there, very much so. I spend a lot of time sort of doing the old face palm about some of the things that people do. Because they've been given expert advice by industry people that should know better.
Oh, exactly. And speaking of musicians in general, I'd love to get to know any bands, any New Zealand musicians that you've been loving recently, who have a recent output.
Oh, that's a hard one for me because I release a lot of music on my Songbroker label. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is there's so many of them, then I get really confused and I can't think of one in particular. But I hear tonight there's a band called The Lions.
Oh, yes, yes.
Cuba.
Yes, there is.
I think I'd check them out. And actually my son was playing this other really cool New Zealand band yesterday and I wish he was around to tell me who it was, but they were awesome. And then I started going down that there are actually really amazing bands again.
You know? Oh, yes, there are. Especially the Dunedin scene is really popping off at the moment.
Yeah, and so I know it exists.
Yeah.
And I know that it's there, and I know that it's very, very exciting right now. It feels like this is like resurgence of
music
again. But you see, you don't hear about it because, once again, you know, the gatekeepers don't let this music be heard, you know. And
yeah.
We have some people that control the music industry, and then we have the real artists coming through. But all I can say to all of them is just keep going, because in my trade, in my business, some of the stuff that that was released in the 80s and 90s is actually getting most of the music synchronization work now. We export more rights to local music from the 80s and 90s, like, and obscure stuff, than we would some of the more well-known artists.
So yeah.
Be true to your art and eventually great things find you, do you know?
That's a great motto. Now, I've got one cheeky question and then we'll get back to the tour and give some details to listeners and everything, but you've toured with some pretty amazing people and opens to some pretty amazing people, Jeff Buckley, David Byrne, The Cure. I'd love to know who was your favourite to open for or perform with.
They were all really, really nice, all of them. And wow, yes, they were amazing people to open for. Now, because in those days, in New Zealand especially, even though I toured with Jeff Buckley in Australia, you couldn't get a visa into tour in New Zealand unless you had a local band supporting you. And that's how I got on a lot of those shows. They had to have a local support act.
Yeah.
So they were really, really cool. I have a real soft spot for Jeff Buckley, obviously.
Yeah.
I met him in Australia and we had a really, just musically we had a really cool connection. And when he came back to Australia, he wanted me to do the tour again, but the Aussies wouldn't let me. But he let me do the New Zealand leg of that tour.
Lovely.
But I'll say, when I toured with Jeff Buckley in Australia, I played Sydney, and the roadies wouldn't put my band on stage.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not, they would not let my band on stage.
Wow.
I had to go and play the Phoenician in front of about 3,000 people solo with the guitar because the Australian roadies would not let my band on stage.
That's crazy.
So that sort of stuff used to go on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really random.
Yeah, that, gosh. What?
Yeah.
Shout out to the Dunedin musicians who want to move to Australia. They might not put your band on stage.
I mean, this is the 90s.
Yeah.
Hopefully things have changed since then.
Oh, we can only hope.
Definitely, there were some pretty heavy things that went on. Like, that was really heavy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were kind of like being like this mafia. It was strange.
Now, you I'm not coming to Dunedin, unfortunately. Hopefully sometime in the future, fingers crossed.
Oh, you know, I'm going to, like with the show, I'm just going to take it to centres as I go.
Yeah.
Because it's a show. And the only reason I haven't decided on Dunedin yet is because I'm just trying to find the right venue.
Venue's a hot topic down here.
I ran out of time for this year. I just got a bit overwhelmed because
yeah.
Oh my god, what am I doing? And so I thought, well, I might try again early next year. I just because I would like to obviously play in Dunedin.
Oh, of course.
It's my musical spiritual home.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to find somewhere with a piano. But
early next year for Dunedin. But at the moment, yes, this spring you're hitting Christchurch, obviously Auckland, Wellington, a couple other places.
No, I'm not playing Wellington.
Not either. Playing Wellington.
No, because they don't have a venue.
Venues need to get on it. We're missing out on great music.
I got a call from a venue in Palmy North, and they're going, yeah, you got to come play here. So, people are ringing me and
That's
asking
good.
Me to come, but it's just, I don't know, I just, sometimes I just, with this show, I just really wanted pianos.
Yeah. But you can get your tickets if you are, Christchurch is obviously the closest place, if you are there, get tickets from your website.
No, the piano is on Event Finder and from the venue, I think, or you can call the venue, but that the piano is a beautiful location. It's a beautiful venue. It's beautiful acoustics and stuff. Oh my god, I better be good.
Oh, I'm sure you would do.
It's just gorgeous, really gorgeous. So I'm quite excited about it. Just to play in Christchurch should be really awesome.
Yeah.
We used to get a lot of people when Cassandra's Ears played there, but I don't know if anyone will turn up today, but we'll see.
Sure they will. Thank you so much for coming on, Jan. It's been absolutely lovely to talk to you.
It's lovely to talk to you too. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure. Up on the playlist next, I'm going to be hitting you all with some Patti Smith. Like I said, if you're in Christchurch, you can hit the piano website to get tickets for Jan's tour, or you can wait eagerly for next year when hopefully she will be coming down to our very own Otipoti. You are tuned.
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.